This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, everybody. Clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm going to sing my song. It won't take long. We're going to do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again.
Ready to jump up and twist around the room. That would have been a scary sight. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. That's Chubby Checker. He's still around, isn't he? I think so. Chubby Checker did a lot of those rock dance songs back then in the early 60s. And boy, everybody got up and away they went. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis. Ed, did you ever do the twist?
A little before me.
Okay. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. It is Wednesday, July the 26th already. And hey, we got a lot going on today. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. And we're going to talk about Cato's new study on tax reform. It just came out. They talk about the flaws in the expenditures and the loopholes that need to be plugged, all kinds of things. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And we're going to do a lot of talking about the Biden family this morning. Hunter Biden, as we talk right now, is appearing in federal court to plead guilty to tax evasion charges and the illegal possession of a firearm. And we're going to find out in just a little while, I think, maybe during the show, whether or not the judge will accept this plea deal. Meantime, the House moves closer to a possible Joe Biden impeachment. So we're going to do a deep dive into the whole mess this morning on our show. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis lops off a bunch of staffers as he slims down his presidential campaign. But is that going to help? We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10. It's hard to do this on radio, but we're going to give you the top 10 most famous paintings in the world. I want to see if Ed knows what is the number one painting, the number one favorite. Freedom Works, by the way, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, there is no better place to go. Great haircut in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. Call first for your appointment. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call 727-733-3773. And Freedom Works is also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. I can tell you from personal experience, they are terrific, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with trees, they're the best. Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. Call them for a free estimate at 727-330-1999. So, just going to keep watching the monitor here, Ed, because Hunter Biden is expected to plead guilty in federal court to misdemeanor tax charges stemming from the years-long probe into his tax affairs. He's appearing before a judge that may not accept the plea deal. Her name is Mary Ellen Noreika. Now, last month, David Weiss, he is the U.S. attorney that has been probing the whole Biden scandal. David Weiss said last month that despite owing in excess of $100,000 in federal income taxes each year, Hunter did not pay for either year. And he also possessed a firearm despite knowing he was an unlawful user because of his drug history. Weiss's office said that if Hunter is convicted, he could face a maximum penalty of a year in prison on each of the tax charges. That would be a total of 2 years, by the way. There is a maximum penalty of 10 years for the firearms charge. Wouldn't that be interesting if the judge said, I think we'll sentence you to the full 12 years.
I guess we wouldn't find any more cocaine in the White House then.
Not for a while. Now, here's the deal. He's done a plea agreement, which, by the way, has faced all kinds of protests from Republicans, and it is likely to keep good old Hunter out of jail. So we'll see where all of this goes.
To my understanding, to the average Joe on the street, that if they had the same gun charge, there would be a mandatory jail sentence.
He'd been charged before on this.
For what he's done.
Yeah, it's not the first time he's had a gun charge.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If it were anybody else, they would be looking at jail no matter
what. They wiped the slate from the first charge. But that's exactly right. By the way, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy predicts Republicans are going to gather enough evidence soon to mount an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden in that whole corruption scandal enveloping him. McCarthy made reference to a relatively new revelation from the House Oversight Committee that while good old Joe was VP, Hunter, his son, capitalized on financial relationships with a Romanian national who was later convicted on corruption charges. You notice that all of the pals that Hunter had are either going to jail or mm-hmm. are currently serving time.
Yeah.
And according to prepared remarks from James Comer, he is the chairman, by the way, of the House Oversight Committee. He says the Bidens received more than $1 million in 17 increments from this Romanian deal. Well, that's just one. They're already talking about he getting $5 million and, I mean, the two Bidens, Hunter and Joe, each getting $5 million mm-hmm. regarding the Burisma scandal, the payoff. One in which Joe Biden sits on in front of a camera boasting about the fact that they weren't going to give Ukraine $1 billion unless the prosecutor in the Burisma energy trial was fired.
Isn't that called quid pro quo?
Of course. He also got money on the side, which influenced him doing that.
Trump was accused of that?
I don't think Trump was ever accused of taking a bribe.
Remember, he held money from Ukraine, too.
Oh, okay, yes. That was the deal when they impeached him because of a phone call, which he wanted to...
Correct. He said,
by the way, are you going to check into this thing with Joe Biden and Burisma? And that's what that whole impeachment mm-hmm. thing on Trump
hung on. But he didn't get any money for it.
He didn't get any money. He wasn't looking for money. Anyway, I mean, he was certainly looking to get the goods on Joe Biden. I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you go. So let's do this. Let's take our break. When we come back, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, he's going to join us. We're going to talk about Cato's new study on tax expenditures and tax reform.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3700. 727-733. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's a Wednesday. Delighted to have back an old friend of ours from the Cato Institute, Chris Edwards. He is the Kiltz Family Chair in Physical Studies for Cato. By the way, he's also the editor of a great piece of literature, downsizinggovernment.org. I should say a great website, downsizinggovernment.org. And we're going to talk with Chris about a new study that Cato has released, Tax Expenditures and Tax Reform. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me again.
Absolutely. You know, it is so insidious what is going on. And trickery and black magic and sleight of hand and everything else that goes into spending by our federal government. I think this is, you know, I salute you guys for what you're doing. It's almost a Don Quixote task. You know, with all of the things that they do. But tell us a little bit about this study. Apparently, it provides a bit of a roadmap to simplify the tax code. I wish that we could do that. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the tax code, as your audience knows, has become horribly complex over time. Just as one metric, the official government, the government puts together an official list of all the tax loopholes, and there's over 200 of them now, up from just 50 in 1970. And so when we're looking ahead, the Trump tax cuts expire in 2025, and to extend those tax cuts, there's going to be a substantial revenue loss, and we've got a giant deficit now. So Congress is going to be looking around for kind of loopholes to close so that we can keep those tax rates down. And so my study looks at all these loopholes, and it breaks them into two categories, things that are real loopholes and things that aren't real loopholes. So there's a problem with the government's official list of loopholes that are called tax expenditures, that they include a lot of things that aren't really loopholes. And a really good example is 401ks. We all, you know, everyone who has a 401k, and everyone should have one, rely on them to you know, help you save for retirement. That the 401ks are on the government's list of loopholes, and so the problem is that the political left is always trying to cut back on these provisions that, you know, help us save and invest, and that's kind of what my study gets into.
Yeah, and even the, I mean, you know, just saying what's a loophole and what is not. I mean, thank God for 401ks. I had one. And it was kind of a way of forcing savings. You know, when you were working, you were able to put a certain percentage, up to a certain amount of your salary, into a 401k. And then when you got out of the company, you took that with you and the whole bit. And thank God that those things were around. And yet the government wants to penalize or look at it as something that should be abandoned.
Yeah, that's right. Because this the official list of government loopholes, or tax expenditures as they call it, has this liberal bias, they put on the list a bunch of pro savings things. So I'll give you one example. You know, the lower capital gains tax rate is on the government list as a loophole, and so Democrats are always trying to hike capital gains taxes. But, you know, if you're an investor, you know that, I mean, one of the reasons why we have a low capital gains tax rate is because of the inflation problem. You buy a stock at $100, a few years later it's $150, and if you sell it you have a $50 capital gain. But if the price only went up because of inflation, you're getting taxed on inflation, which is completely unfair.
Right.
So my study looks at, you know, which are the real loopholes and which are the fake ones. I'll give you some real loopholes. A real loophole is something like the government has a low-income housing tax credit that is basically a giveaway to the banks and developers who build low-income housing. And this is an enormously complicated loophole where they benefit, and really the low-income renters don't benefit much at all. This low-income housing tax credit is a loophole we should repeal. It's enormously complicated. The guidebook for it is 1,700 pages long, and complicated. So we should eliminate those real loopholes, but, you know, we need to protect the things like 401ks that prevent the government from overtaxing us.
Yeah. You know, so many times these programs, like you're talking about here, this tax credit for low-income housing, they never get down. The money really never dribbles down to the people themselves, does it? It gets to the entity that is going to provide the service, in this case, maybe the banks.
That's right. And I'll give you another example of that, actually. I mean, the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is this $70 billion program that supplements the wages of low-income people. Now, a lot of both liberals and conservatives support it, but one of the problems is that the existence of the big Earned Income Tax Credit is an excuse for companies like McDonald's that pay lower wages to reduce the market wages they pay the workers, because they know that they're going to get the government subsidy. So part of the Earned Income Tax Credit that is supposed to go to low-income workers is actually gobbled up by the companies that pay the low wages. So you have to, you know, this is one of the problems when government tries to micromanage the economy. There's these sort of companies sort of respond to it, and the subsidy doesn't necessarily go where you think it's going to go.
Yeah, this may not be an exact comparison, but just the fact that when the government gets involved in the private sector, prices never go down. They always go up. You know this better than I do. When they get involved in financing student loans, the cost of tuition goes up. When they get involved in financing people's health care, the cost of health care goes up. When are we ever going to learn that when you get the government involved in the private sector, the cost of the product will go up, and typically the quality of the product will go down?
No, that's absolutely right. And, you know, we see, for example, now that the Biden administration, for example, has put about $600 billion of new tax credits for green energy and the like. And this is, you know, driving up the cost of all these green energy technologies, rather than letting the market decide which of these are the most, you know, effective new technologies for energy. So I think there's going to be a big comeuppance with these green energy tax credits. I think a lot of them are going to fail. There's going to be a lot of scandals associated with them in the years ahead. So we should watch for that. That is, you know, those green energy tax credits are an example of real loopholes that we ought to eliminate from the tax code. And that's going to be one of the big battles ahead. The Republicans in the House are trying to pass a tax bill this year that, you know, increases the standard deduction, which is a pretty good move, and, you know, offsets it with eliminating these green energy subsidies. And so that'll be one of the battles going on right now.
We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is a Kiltz family chair in the fiscal studies at the Great Cato Institute. He's also the editor of downsizinggovernment.org. So he knows a little bit about what's going on, all the hanky-panky that goes on with your tax money and the federal government. You mentioned something I want to ask you about, Chris. The Trump tax cuts, did you say they expire after 2025?
That's right. So virtually all the Trump individual income tax cuts, which includes lower tax rates for really everyone across the board. The Democrats keep saying that the Trump tax cuts were only for the rich, but I'll tell you, they were not. They were actually equal across the board. And people are, if Congress lets those expire, I'm telling you, your listeners will notice that after 2025, because their typical middle-income taxes are going to go up by a few thousand dollars. People will notice this. So going into 2025, there will be a big battle over, you know, which of the Trump tax cuts to extend. So they originally only lasted from 2017 through to 2025. There's a big question over, you know, which of those tax cuts are going to be extended, so for individuals and small businesses.
Yeah, I would think and I would hope that they're going to extend them, especially if you have a Republican Congress, but we don't know about that. But I was going to ask you this. You hear that when you cut taxes, in the long run, the government ends up actually getting more revenue. Is that true?
So it's not true with many tax cuts, but it is true with some tax cuts. So, for example, with capital gains, you get a very strong response. If you lower the capital gains tax rate, what happens is people who have taxable investments, they increase their stock trading in it, and so it ends up, you know, over, there's a lower rate, so they pay less on each trade, but they trade more, so the government actually ends up not being any further behind. A similar thing happens with the corporate tax rate. People think maybe the optimal corporate tax rate for the government is, say, maybe around 20% or so. If you have a high corporate tax rate, U.S. corporations invest abroad. Foreign corporations don't invest in the United States. We don't get the factories right built here, so the government ends up losing money. So that's why, I mean, Trump cut the tax rate, the corporate tax rate, pretty dramatically in his 2017 bill from 35% to 21%. If you look at the government financial accounts now, corporate tax revenues have actually gone way up since then. So lower rates, more revenue. However, that isn't true. There's many tax cuts, you know, that isn't true. It really depends on how responsive the tax base is, how responsive taxpayers are to the change in the tax rate.
Yeah. The reason that I bring that up is, well, twofold. One is that was an argument that in the Reagan administration, bringing down taxes actually resulted in more revenue going into the government, and they showed a study that supposedly that was true, although they raised payouts, expenditures as well. In other words, they took in more money, but they also spent more money during that period. But
that's right. I mean, the, you know, the deficits went way up in the 80s, partly because of the large tax cuts, but also because, you know, even though Reagan's heart was in the right place and trying to restrain spending, he was really only partly successful. Reagan really only cut spending once when his very first budget bill in 1981. Mm-hmm. Then, unfortunately, you know, spending and all kinds of stuff went up after that, despite his best efforts.
Yeah.
But you know, so you know, the problem with the federal government today is not a shortage of revenue. The federal government revenues are around 18% of GDP. That's really the long run average. So there's no shortage of revenue now. And like I said, after the Trump tax cuts in 2017, you know, revenues are actually substantially higher now. So looking ahead, it's the spending that is really out of whack.
Right.
Spending is so much higher now in 2023 than it was pre-COVID in 2019, and that's the real problem.
And we're are we not going in the wrong direction? I mean, God bless you for doing the study. The more people that will look at this, I hope it changes some minds. But aren't we going in the wrong direction no matter what? Even if, you know, we have a Republican president in there or, you know, it just seems like everything is more. It's not going to come down.
We, in my view, the you know, the Republicans have a, you know, over a dozen nominees for president now. They ought to pick the nominee who has the hardest line on spending and has the most detailed plan to cut spending. I think overspending is the biggest threat to the nation. It's a giant threat, and we need the next president focused on cutting spending. The last Republican president did not focus on that. Deficits went up. We need the next president to focus on cutting spending.
You're absolutely right. I hope that the message comes out. I mean, people are looking at their wallets. They see that inflation and everything else is they have less spending power, but They got to look at the government and what the government...
That's right. There's no free lunch. As we all know, the giant spending in recent years contributed to this inflation. And most, you know, workers, if you haven't got wage increases, you're around, you know, 15 or 20% lower real income now because you do, you know, you had this big run-up of inflation and your wages may not have kept track of that.
Chris Edwards, and he's done this study, and I hope that you'll visit the Cato website and take a look at it. It's a new study called Tax Expenditures and Tax Reform. Thanks so much for coming on, Chris, and keep up the good work.
I'm very pleased to join your podcast. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. All right, Chris Edwards, going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about all of this mess with Joe Biden and also Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He's lopping off a bunch of staffers as he slims down his presidential campaign, but is it going to help him?
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, middle of the week. So glad to have you with us. So, you know, the stock market has been going straight up. It goes up and up and up, despite all of the issues with inflation and products on the shelf and everything else. Well, the Federal Reserve is widely expected to deliver another interest rate hike today. Gosh, that's just what we need, right? In their attempt to slow down inflation. Resuming its campaign to jack up borrowing costs and crush inflation after a brief pause in June. Now, excuse me, the projected quarter percentage hike is going to set the rate between 5.25% and 5.5%. Now, that would further restrict economic activity. I mean, the more you raise the rate of borrowing, no matter what it's for, the less the people will come and get the money, right? This 5.25% to 5.5% federal interest rate would mark the highest since 2001, and it will mark, listen to this, the 11th increase, increase in a year and a half. So I don't like the Federal Reserve getting involved in this thing at all. I think we get to a much quicker conclusion. It's the same thing with the Depression. When the government got involved in the early 30s in trying to stop the Depression, they extended it with all of the things they tried to do. Hoover was right. If you had let the thing alone, it would have ended a lot sooner. Anyway, we'll see where this goes. But it looks like the Fed is going to continue to consider raising rates. I don't know when they think they should stop. But there you go. All right. So I wonder if that trial is still going on with Hunter Biden. I haven't seen anything yet on that one. But President Biden's repeated insistence that he had no knowledge of Hunter's business dealings continues to fall apart under the weight of allegations that he was frequently involved, including reported forthcoming testimony from one of Hunter's longtime friends and business partners that the then vice president was on more than two dozen business calls with Hunter. I mean, I wonder if we're going to hear good old Joe say, I've never been involved in any way, shape, or form. I don't even know what Hunter does for a living. I mean, he was bold enough to basically say that, was he not? Hunter's longtime friend, Devon Archer, he's a former business partner. He was with Hunter when Joe was vice president in all of their goofing around. And he is scheduled to sit for a transcribed interview before members of Congress next week. In addition to his expected testimony, Devon Archer is likely to be asked about Biden's meeting with over a dozen Hunter business associates while serving as vice president. It might be that this is almost like a plea deal because they've got some goods on Devon Archer for a bunch of things that he has been involved in. And I think he's trying to cut a deal. Hey, listen, I'll spill the beans. I'll talk, you know, like in those movies. But you got to give me a deal of some kind. So, but listen to this. This is some of the things that Joe Biden, he must have real contempt for people to say these kinds of things. He said, I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their business, period. Now, Joe Biden said that back in 2019. He said there wasn't any hint of scandal at all when we were there. It was the same kind of strict rules. That's why I never talk with my son or my brother or anyone else, even distant family, about their business interests, period. Then one time the Fox White House reporter Peter Ducey was asking him questions, which got under Joe Biden's skin. He said, I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. You should be looking at Trump. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum. Everybody's looked at it, and there's nothing there. Ask the right question. Boy, good old Joe can be a little feisty. I mean, he just continually said that, but I don't think he's saying that anymore. You know, here's the deal. Joe, if you're innocent, you would want to go running towards a microphone to talk about it, if you were really innocent and you weren't doing this kind of thing. You wouldn't be hiding and walking away and keeping your lips closed when people were asking you questions as you wandered down away from the dais. If you're innocent, if this is really nothing but a pack of lies about your involvement in bribery, why wouldn't you be wanting to talk about it so that you could clear the air? Here's another thing. You know, this David Weiss thing. Democrats want to make it look like David Weiss is some sort of golden Republican knight doing the investigating in Delaware as the prosecutor for Hunter Biden. He's anything but. First of all, he was involved with the Obama administration before Donald Trump got involved with him. Donald Trump has appointed people. I mean, let's be honest. Donald Trump appointed Christopher Wray to become the new FBI director. Donald Trump's suggested appointments haven't always panned out, as you know. But a longtime friend and ally of Hunter Biden and his family was the prosecutor in the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office when that office led the federal probe into Hunter. And this particular friend and ally that's in the Delaware office has visited the White House at least five times during the Biden administration. Alexander Snyder Mackler, longtime legal counsel to Joe Biden when he was vice president and a press secretary for then-Senator Biden between 07 and 08, served as an assistant U.S. attorney in the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office under David Weiss. And it was under David Weiss during this probe. During this time, Weiss was leading the federal investigation into Hunter Biden for tax fraud and illegal foreign business dealings. So, I mean, the fix is really in. The fix is really in. And we'll see where all of this ends up, but the walls are closing in. Here's another thing. Did you know this, Ed? Did you know that Biden claims that he effectively ended cancer? Did you know that he said that recently? I'm not kidding. I mean, he says a lot of things, but I'm so delighted. President Biden was taken to task yesterday after bizarrely claiming that his administration has effectively, quote, ended cancer as we know it.
What was his response?
Huh?
What was his response?
That's what he said. He said they've ended cancer as we know it. Biden made the comment during a speech about expanding access to mental health care at the White House, where they do need to expand mental health care at the White House.
You know how when you get the family together once a year and there's that old grandpa at the end of the table that just rambles on?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you just listen for a couple minutes and just tune them out.
That's true.
That's what you got to do. I mean, I was yesterday I was flipping through the channels and he was honoring somebody that would have put up a monument for, I can't remember the guy's name or whatever.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The Mississippi black guy.
Yes. And
that was killed back in the 50s.
And Biden said, well, you know, we're taking books out of schools and trying to erase history. And I'm like, yes, you are trying to erase history. You're taking statues down and stuff like that.
Yeah, Democrats are pulling down statues.
Yeah, he doesn't acknowledge that part. He doesn't acknowledge. So that's why I said I just tune him out.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, during that rambling, he said, one of the things I'm always asked is why Americans have sort of lost faith for a while in being able to do big things. If you could do anything at all, Joe, what would you do? I said I'd cure cancer. They looked at me like, why cancer? Because no one thinks we can. That's why, and we can. We ended cancer as we know it.
Okay. So the staff just looks at each other.
I guess. How do you clean that one up? Well, we're still in the process of ending cancer as we know it. The Media Research Center said this. Fact check. Joe Biden has not cured cancer. All right. I know. That's Joe being Joe, right? He just seems to go on. All right. Let us do this. Let us take our final break. And among other things, we're going to talk, I promise you, about Ron DeSantis. He's lopped off a bunch of staffers as he slims down his presidential campaign. And the top 10 most famous paintings in the world.
Pearly white, just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company, from trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The final segment on a Wednesday of Freedom Works. And by the way, thank you for listening to us. We do really appreciate it. We are here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So when you can join us, God love you. But thanks to Ed, if you can't listen at those times, he puts all our shows on podcast. So all you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top, and there are all our shows. Ed's got, he's got them in chronological order. You'll see the newest show at the top. You'll see who the guest is that we have, and you'll see our top 10. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. All right, so Ron DeSantis and his campaign to be president is expanding the number of staff that he's cutting. In fact, it's going to be more than a third of his payroll as he looks to get his primary bid back on track. 38 jobs are going to be shed across an array of departments. They will include the roughly 10 event planning positions that were announced several weeks ago. In addition to the recent departure of two senior DeSantis campaign advisors. Now, if he gets his story going more towards, I think, the border and the economy and what he's going to do there, he's got to concentrate on those particular issues. I think the woke thing, although he locks in with a bunch of people that want to see better educational standards, et cetera, there's a lot more that is going on. And I don't think he should just use, you know, in other words, Ron, don't be a one-trick pony or whatever they call it. Got to have a bunch of things. But here's what the DeSantis campaign manager, Janera Peck, said. Following a top-to-bottom review of our organization, we have taken additional aggressive steps to streamline operations and put Ron DeSantis in the strongest position to win this primary and defeat Joe Biden. So, according to recent filings, the campaign had about 90-plus staffers through the end of June, so they're down to about 60. I don't know how the donor deal is going right now. He was in a car accident, wasn't he? Although he wasn't hurt. I don't know where was that? Somewhere up near New Hampshire? Or where was
Alabama,
it?
Alabama.
Oh, Alabama, okay.
I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Was it some Joe Biden truck that was driving by to try to hit
him? Kamikaze, I don't know.
Well, apparently nobody was injured.
No.
No, that's good. All right. I want to mention this because I keep wanting to talk about this in Illinois, where I used to live. I mean, if things aren't bad enough, sheriffs in downstate Illinois say they are bracing for more crime, more trouble, because the state is officially ending cash bail. Did you hear about that?
That is scary.
Why don't we just, you know, let everybody out?
Wow, that is scary.
No cash bail. The Illinois Supreme Court ruled in favor of eliminating the cash bail system. It actually takes effect September the 18th. It'll make Illinois the first state to fully abolish cash bail. And so you're going to have all of these guys, usually, mm-hmm. that are going to be back on the street doing the same damn thing after you've caught them doing it. Mm-hmm. They're going to go back out and do it again.
All these stores that are closing up and leaving, or they're locking everything up.
Yes.
So if you go into CVS and you want a toothbrush,
yes.
it's locked up. You have to get an attendant, and they go and unlock the...
It's terrible.
And so I saw that...
Has that happened to you?
No, I haven't seen it here yet.
I haven't seen it here.
Because we don't have those laws. I mean, you know... We put people in jail here.
Yeah. In other words, it's not affecting our stores yet.
CNN went to do a story to see if it was for real, you know, to do, and it actually happened. And while the
somebody was trying to steal things.
While the film crew was there, it happened three times.
That somebody was in there to rob.
Yes, in the hour that they were there, three times.
Oh my God!
And while they were rolling,
that is. That's something else. All right. Ed, before we go to our top 10, we have a good one, by the way. Dare I ask you, are we doing any better with the Rays? Is there any new sports report, even besides baseball, that we should know about?
They had Monday off, so they didn't lose.
All right.
Last night, they played the Marlins here, the Miami Marlins.
Yes.
And they actually won. It was a decisive victory. And the only team in the league right now worse than the Rays after the All-Star break would be the Miami Marlins.
The Florida Marlins. Are they called Miami Marlins?
Yes, they are.
I thought it was Florida Marlins.
They dropped the Florida, I don't know, right after the Rays had gotten, you know, a few years after we got the Rays. Because they wanted Florida meeting everybody, but when the Rays came.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I think it was in the early 2000s they dropped the... Well, the Rays were here in 98.
I know, but I must be really out of it because I've been thinking that they've been calling them the Florida Marlins for a while.
They were Florida Marlins.
I know, anyway. So I heard that LeBron James' son got a heart attack while he was practicing basketball. That's kind of scary. Does he have a weak ticker?
No, they determined that was something, the way he fell or something like that. Oh. Remember the football player from the Buffalo Bills? That took a hit in the chest and went into cardiac arrest on the game that one night, and they had to revive him on the field.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it was something along those lines.
Oh, that's a scary scenario.
He doesn't have a defect or anything like that.
Oh, good.
So he'll be all right.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I was wondering. I didn't really get all the detail on that. Am I right? Has there been a couple of NFL exhibition games that have been played?
No, not yet.
Not yet. I thought I was watching
next
one.
Weekend? Next weekend, I believe.
They start next weekend. Yeah. Yeah. So, in other words, early August? Are we thinking early August? I guess that's it.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Bucks' first game would be, is, I believe, the 11th.
Their first exhibition game, right?
Yeah, I believe the first exhibition game is August 11th.
August 11th, all right. All right, very good, Ed. Now, I don't know how we can describe the top 10 most famous paintings in the world, but we will try to do it. This is, of course, everybody has their own top 10 list of paintings, right? Just like favorite actors and favorite TV shows and all that.
Does this be painting by number?
Oh, do you think Hunter Biden might be one of the top 10? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It could be painting by Biden.
Painting by Biden could be. But this comes from CNN, which turned to Google to see which paintings topped search results worldwide over the past several years, okay? So here we go, number 10. It's called The Creation of Adam. Okay. Now, you've seen it. It's Michelangelo. And he painted it between 1508 and 1512, the most famous work by Michelangelo. It covers a section of the Sistine Chapel's ceiling. It's not actually on a canvas. It's up there on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
See, I thought it was 16 Chapel. I thought there were 15 other chapels somewhere else. When I first, I thought.
It's Sistine.
I used to call it 16 Chapel.
16, now you're being funny.
No,
it's Sistine, S-I-S-T-I-N-E, not 16. Okay. Number nine, Las Meninas, Diego Velazquez, 1556. Las Meninas is not only his most famous painting, it also is one of the largest. The complexity of the work has fascinated art critics and the public. It's actually as large as human beings. So he had to be standing on the ladder doing it, okay? Number seven, Girl with a Pearl Earring. Johannes Vermeer painted it in 1665. This intriguing favorite gets compared with the Mona Lisa. Besides its stylistic differences, technically, it isn't even a portrait, but what was called a trony. That's a Dutch word for a painting of an imaginary figure with exaggerated features. Number six, The Kiss, Gustav Kiss, Klimt, between 1907 and 1908. Byzantine artistic influences can be seen in this highly decorative, in the highly decorative robes worn by the passionate, life-sized couple. Number five, Guernica. Pablo Picasso painted it, 1937. Most recent painting on the list depicts the German aerial bombing of the town of Guernica in Spain. Number four, The Scream. The Scream by Edward Munch, painted in 1893. The Scream is not a single work of art. There are actually two paintings of The Scream, two pastels, and then an unspecified number of prints. Number three, The Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh in 1889, the comparatively abstract painting, the signature example of Van Gogh's innovative and bold use of thick brush strokes. Number two, The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. They say it's sometime between 1495 and 1498 that he painted it. The Last Supper depicts the last time that Jesus broke bread with his disciples before the crucifixion. Everybody has seen that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ed, what do you think is the number one most famous painting in the world?
Probably the much anticipated, sought after painting by Biden.
You know what it is.
I don't know.
You're kidding?
No.
Oh, come on, Ed.
I wouldn't know if it was a million-dollar painting or a third grader.
You would know it.
No.
The Mona Lisa.
Oh, Mona. Okay.
Mona Lisa. Leonardo da Vinci painted it between 1503 and 1519. The sitter, by the way, is thought to be Lisa Gherardini. She was the wife of a Florence merchant. But experts are not sure. Did I detect you yawning while I was describing the Mona Lisa?
Did she get around or something? She's a sinner?
Well, I don't know, but she had an interesting smile.
All right.
If you ever look at, she's got that, what do you call it, kind of a smile?
Smirk?
It's almost a smirk. Yeah. Most famous painting in the world, though. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We shall be back on Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
She's simply awesome.
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.